Hello and welcome to another Premier League review show on Football Talk Podcast. My name is Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. Another twist in the tail in match week 33. Liverpool's poor form continues in a week from hell as they lost to Crystal Palace 1-0. Arsenal surprisingly lost to Aston Villa at home 2-0 on Sunday. And now we have new leaders as Man City beat Luton Town 5-1 and the favourites are back at the top. So let's review all the games for match week 33 and we'll start with Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. What an awful result for the Reds as Crystal Palace have dented Liverpool's title chances once again. But it's the same story with Liverpool, especially in recent weeks. They've started games very poorly, conceded very early and lacked the killer instinct in front of goal. Palace started the game very aggressively and got their rewards in the end. Fantastic play from the left-hand side from Mitchell, who cuts back a pass to Eze, and then he slots it in calmly to make it 1-0. Palace almost got the second goal moments later, but Andrew Robertson finally made the crucial clearance from the goal. But then Liverpool tried to respond with some attacks of their own. Endo has a glorious chance from a few yards out, but hits the ball onto the crossbar. Diaz then has an acrobatic effort that was saved in unbelievable fashion by Dean Henderson, and a frustrating first half with a strong bench for Liverpool. I thought maybe they had the tools to change the outcome of the game, but unfortunately that wasn't to be. Darwin Nunez had a fantastic chance to equalise, but his volley was hit straight at the keeper. Poor miss for me, but that wasn't one of the worst chances of the game. Jota had a chance with the whole goal to aim at, but Nathaniel Clyne makes an important block. The next chance, however, I couldn't believe Curtis Jones missed it. One-on-one with the keeper, he hits the wrong technique with the shot and goes completely wide off the mark. Poor effort from the midfielder, and for me, a costly one in the end. Mohamed Salah has a late chance in the game to get an equaliser, but his shot was, who to be fair, had a fantastic game. And that is the end of the match review there in terms of the Liverpool game. But first things first, credit to Crystal Palace, who produced the perfect game plan and got the win, which was hugely deserved. Liverpool were a shamble in front of goal. The only positive I can take is that we're still creating a high volume of chances. So only but surely we'll start banging them in. But at the minute, it's more hope than anything else. Now, is this the end of Liverpool's title race? I'm not quite ready to throw in the towel. I think there's another twist in the tail. And the one team that holds the key is Tottenham Hotspur, who play all three teams in the coming weeks. And also Villa. Villa lost to Man City very recently. They beat Arsenal over the weekend, which we'll touch on very shortly. And they still have Liverpool to play next month on the 13th of May. So for me, it's not the end. But I think I sound more hopeful than anything else. If we manage to get a result against Atalanta tomorrow and progress into the semi-finals, which is an unthinkable task due to what is expected. But if we get the win, that would give the team a huge boost. But hey, let's see. As I mentioned, a very slim chance of that happening. In terms of the next game, Arsenal versus Aston Villa. And what a surprising result this was. Arsenal have been very strong at the Emirates this season. And to see them lose at the end was very shocking. Arsenal started the game really well in the first half. And for me, were very dominant. Saka had a chance, unfortunately his shot hit the side netting. But Ollie Watkins almost breaks the deadlock with a lethal shot. His shot hits the post but bounces out of the goal. Villa almost concede, but Martinez produces an unbelievable save from close range to save, or should I say deny Trossard from scoring. Saka has another shot from the right side but just misses the post. But in the second half, Tielemans produces an unbelievable long shot that hits the bar and post, but doesn't cross the goal line. But Villa managed to get onto the score sheet in the end, in the 84th minute through Leon Bailey. It wasn't an easy finish, but he slots it in calmly with his right foot. Then Ollie Watkins scores the second goal through a counter-attack with a lovely dinked effort over the keeper, and that's game over. So Arsenal fans, say cheese to the camera. No, I'm only joking. But the only reason I did that, there were a lot of shameless Arsenal fans celebrating Liverpool's defeat early in the afternoon. And, you know, as football fans, we should all know, you shouldn't really go for those premature celebrations. There's a thing called karma, and that always comes back to bite you on the ass. But hey, it is what it is. Liverpool and Arsenal are now on joint points with 71 points in second and third place. Some Arsenal fans have told me they feel like psychologically the title is over for Arsenal. I wouldn't go quite far as to say it is. I think the title race will go to the end of the season or to the wire. And I believe all three teams are still involved. Next fixture, Man City versus Luton Town, which ended 5-1. A routine day in the office for Man City, who, as expected, blitzed through Luton Town. So let's discuss the key moments of the game. Haaland misses a one-on-one opportunity, but City still have possession of the ball as Doku drives into the box, hits a shot that's blocked by a Luton defender. The ball's in the air. Haaland applies a volley, but to be fair, he got his angles completely wrong. But luckily for him, it ended up hitting Luton's Hashioka in the head and deflects into the back of the net. City then make it 2-0 with a great half volley from Kovacic from the edge of the box. What a finish that was. Doku that is then fouled in the box by Onyedima. Blatant penalty. Haaland steps up and slots in the ball very calmly into the bottom corner. And then Luton grabbed themselves a goal to make it 3-1 after a great run and dribble from Ross Barkley, who hits a low shot into the corner with his left foot. Doku then responds in the other way with a mazy run and nice finish in the bottom corner as well. And Guardiol wraps it up to make it 5-1 with a fantastic right footed shot. Didn't think he had that in his locker. I thought he was one-footed. But hey, lovely finish nevertheless. So overall, a great win for the Citizens. They've leapfrogged to the top of the table now. Is that a concern for the rivals? Of course it is. This is when City are at their strongest, where they're in control and not chasing teams to climb up the table. They will probably be labelled as the stronger favourites now to win the league. I don't think it's plain sailing. As I mentioned earlier on, there is or there will be another twist in the tail for me. Next fixture, Newcastle versus Tottenham. Spurs doing Spursy things yet again. After a fantastic win last week against Forest in match week 32 and actually claiming fourth spot for quite a while in the league, they failed to capitalise. After this defeat, they've actually dropped to fifth now. But let's forget the league table for a second. The performance in this fixture was simply shocking. Let's talk about the key moments of the game. Isaac opens the scoreline with a great strike in the bottom corner, and he has been in sensational form this season. I would not be surprised if he is a number one target for a number of clubs this summer, because for me, he's probably the hottest striker in the league, and you'd probably say arguably in Europe as well. Gordon then makes it 2-0 as Porro gives the ball away with his back pass. Gordon gets on the end of the ball and smashes it into the goal. Isaac then makes it 3-0 on the counter-attack. And I love this finish, the way he applied it. So calm and so composed. It's a side-footed shot from the left to score his second goal of the game. Just for the record, I would love to see Isaac at Liverpool. I think he would be sensational for us. But that's another conversation for another day. But back to the game. Fabian Schär makes it 4-0 for Newcastle from his leaping header. Great finish from the defender to round up a fantastic performance and victory for the Toonami. Spurs, let's be honest right here, were awful in this game. And remember, Newcastle had a lot of injuries in this game. So they fielded a weakened team, but fair play to Eddie Howe and the players who executed the perfect game plan and fully deserved the win. They've now climbed up the table to sixth position. Now, this next game, so looks like Chelsea have woken up all of a sudden, smashing Everton 6-0. And the star of the show was none other than Cole Palmer. The opening goal, great play from Palmer. Starting with nutmeg on Branthwaite. He then has a 1-2 with Jackson. Executes a lovely place shot into the bottom corner. 1-0 to Chelsea. And then Cole Palmer makes it 2-0 for Chelsea as Jackson's shot is parried away by Pickford. but it's only as far as Palmer, who nods the ball into the back of the net. But the third goal by Palmer was just outrageous. A right-footed lob over the keeper. Beautifully done. And I believe it's the fastest hat-trick in Premier League history. And I believe the timing was in 29 minutes, which is crazy. Nicholas Jackson then produces a fantastic volley in the box to make it 4-0. And then Maduike is fouled in the box. Penalty awarded. But I'm sure you guys have seen the scene. In bizarre fashion, you've got Maduike, Jackson and Palmer all pushing and shoving each other to decide who takes the penalty. Then you've got Captain Gallagher, who intervenes, takes the ball off the players and gives it to Cole Palmer, who we all know is the main penalty taker for the Blues. But fair play to him. That didn't distract him whatsoever. He stepped up for the penalty and slotted it calmly into the corner to score his fourth goal of the game. And that's his ninth penalty out of nine. What a record. Maduike and Action Jackson tried to take or steal the limelight from him. And then in the end, Gilchrist, who just comes off the bench, scores in the 88th minute. And that is his first goal for the club. So a proud moment for the youngster and his family. But in the end, what a game. That result could be monumental for Chelsea's season. They're currently ninth in the league with 47 points. They're only 3 points away from sixth place, which could be European qualification for next season. Now, it's not European football in terms of Champions League. It's not the highest level. But considering how awful this season has been, it would actually rescue the season, in my opinion, and represent as a decent finish. Also, a crazy stat after the game was the fact that Cole Palmer has actually scored 20 league goals this season. That means he's joint top scorer with Erling Haaland, which blows my mind, to be honest with you. What an unbelievable season Cole Palmer is having. And ignore what Man City fans are saying. They must regret selling him in the summer, because right now he is cooking. And before we go on to the next game, just wanted to have a little mention. At Oswald, which is my new clothing brand, we have a Cole Palmer t-shirt, and that is available to purchase. Which I'm presenting on the screen to let all my listeners on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts know. So you can buy yours today at oswald.co.uk. As you can see on the screen, oswrld.co.uk. The shirt material is of premium quality and it's suitable for everyday casual wear, perfect for high performance activities. So feel free to have a browse and make your purchase today. So back to the football, back to the game, or shall I say other games, as there's five more games remaining. So let's start with Bournemouth versus Manchester United, which ended 2-2. Forget glory, glory, Man United. More like lucky, lucky Man United. Solanke opens the score sheet with a fantastic strike from outside the box. And what a goal it was from the striker. He's really finding his own this season. Fernandes then equalises for United with a left-footed shot from 2 yards out. Clivert then gives the Cherries the lead once again. Lovely shot towards the near post, hit it with real power. And Bournemouth had a few chances to extend that lead, but wasn't able to convert. But unfortunately, United were awarded with a penalty. And for me, not just speaking because I'm a Liverpool fan, I don't think that was a penalty. It was a double deflection, and Smith didn't really react to move the ball away with his arm. So for me, it's a soft one. It pretty much just hit him, rather than him waving his arm to move the ball away. But hey, it is what it is. Bournemouth get a late penalty as Christie is fouled in the box. But VAR ruled it out and said that the foul was committed outside the box. For me, it's a tight call, but I don't think it's the right decision. From the replay that they showed on the TV, they seem to have froze the moment when there wasn't any contact made. So I feel like the next move was when there was contact made, and that's when the foul happened, and it was just inside the box. So for me, incorrect decision yet again. Manchester United get away with it and secure a point as they drop to seventh. Next fixture, Brentford versus Sheffield United. Brentford managed to claim a home victory against the Blades. They opened the scoreline through an Alblaster own goal. The unforgotten man, Damsgaard, for Brentford scores a lovely goal, but unfortunately it was ruled out for a foul in the box. The Bees then managed to secure the win in the 91st minute as Onyeka who literally just came off the bench, scores with his first touch, and also scores his first goal of the season for Brentford. So a good win for the Bees there. Next fixture, Burnley versus Brighton. Burnley scored the opening goal through Branhill. A mistake from the keeper, but you have to give some credit to Branhill, who showed persistence to chase that ball and managed to hit the back of the net. But then disaster strikes as the ball rolls underneath Muric's foot and then unfortunately then finds its way into the back of the net to give Brighton the equaliser. A poor way to concede points in the game where, you know, points right now are very valuable, especially for that relegation zone. So yeah, I'm sure Muric was feeling it after the game. Next fixture, Nottingham Forest versus Wolves, which ended 2-2. Cunha, who returns to the lineup, scores a fantastic goal, hitting the top bins to give Wolves a 1-0 lead. But then Gibbs White, former Wolves player, gets the equaliser with a header. But then Forest take the lead through Danilo, scoring from close range. But in the end, Wolves managed to get an equaliser. Scrappy goal from Cunha, but his second goal of the game. And he was able, in the end, to manage to rescue a point for Wolves. And the last fixture is West Ham versus Fulham, which ended 2-0 to Fulham. After a win against Wolves last week, West Ham failed to capitalise and they lose against the Cottagers. Pereira scores a brace to give Fulham the win. The first goal, a poor mistake from Mavropanos. Pereira gets the loose ball, goes around Fabianski and then hits the empty net. The second goal, a great low cross from Iwobi, and Pereira scores from close range. Disappointing defeat for West Ham, who have now dropped to ninth in the league. But that victory allows Fulham to climb up the table in 12th position. So that is my match week 33 review. And before we end the show, it's customary for me to announce the FPL Manager of the Week. And we've got two managers on joint points, so it's only fair to announce both of their names, and it is Abbas Karouni and Rooster, who were able to attain 103 points. So well done to Abbas and Rooster. Abbas has now moved up to 18th place in the league, and Rooster has now moved up to 81st. So great points tally for both of you. In terms of my performance, let's have a look at my score. I actually forgot what my score is. So I managed to get 64, and unfortunately, I have dropped to 54th in the league. So, yeah, not picking up form anytime soon, unfortunately. But, hey, it is what it is. Before we wrap up, let's present the league table, and let's see if we have any changes in the top 10. So, at top, it's still Jordan Smith. He is first with his team called Not Sure. And then you've got Joseph, who remains in second. His team is Hossof FC. Then you've got Lebanese Saka, who's moved up to third. Anas has unfortunately dropped to fourth. Tayo, Vipin, Sebastian remain in fifth, sixth, and seventh. Pipo Inzaghi has moved up to eighth. Nana Asai has moved up to ninth. And Ali Askar has dropped to 10th position. So it's the normal culprits, or shall I say, the main top 10 contenders there. A few changes here and there. But yeah, it's getting tight up there. Look, there's only 5 points separating Joseph and Jordan there. So still all to play for. We've got five more match weeks left. Time is ticking, but hey, it is what it is. And, you know, we're approaching crunch time in the league right now. So that's the end of the show. So thank you to everyone for tuning in. If you haven't already, please don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to the channel. Lots of content coming your way this week, guys. So we have the match preview of Atalanta versus Liverpool taking place tonight. Time to be confirmed, but it'll be around 10 or 11 p.m. And then tomorrow, we will have three back-to-back shows. So the first show is the watch-along of Atalanta versus Liverpool. Then we have a match reaction at 10:30 p.m. UK time. And then finally, to wrap up the evening, we will have the match preview of Liverpool's next Premier League fixture, which is Fulham versus Liverpool at 11:30 p.m. But the timing of the show could change depending on the outcome of the Atalanta-Liverpool game. So fingers crossed. But the best thing to do is hit that notification bell, but also follow me on social media for all the latest updates. You can follow me at AussieFTP on Twitter /X, and you can also follow me at Aussie.FTP on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. And finally, I mentioned it earlier in the show, but if you didn't know, I've launched a new clothing brand called Ozworld, the home of new custom and unique designs referencing the football world. We've got plenty of designs, especially for Liverpool fans, but also for the fans of Man City, United, Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, and plenty more. So feel free to have a browse at ozworld.co.uk and make your purchase today. So that's the end of the show, guys. Take care, stay safe, and I hope to see you all later this evening. Goodbye.